This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm just going to snooze
until you're ready to go.
You've got your sort of face on and arms folded. It's fine. I know you've...
I'm not feeling very well. And you're keeping me waiting and I'm annoyed.
That's a good start. Ding, 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 ding. Why aren't you feeling well, darling?
Because I had my second jab yesterday and I'm not feeling very well. And it's all fine, but Ben arrived some minutes ago. What is the problem of me having an extra layer on because I'm cold? Would you rather that... Is it annoying that I'm wrapped in a blanket? Because I'm cold.
Bit.
It's annoying, is it?
No, it's fine. It's not. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. No, I just sat down. You just said... I just sat down and you were... I huddled under a blanket.
Yeah. Resting my eyes, which are painful.
Resting your eyes with your arms folded.
Yes.
And I had to sit down and, you know, that's fine.
Okay.
But from here, let's make a podcast.
Let's do it.
Shall I get a Foden?
A what?
Shall I get a Foden?
What's a Foden?
Everyone's getting a Foden.
What's a Foden? I missed that story.
Well, I'll give you a clue. It is not the haircut of the famous novelist Giles Foden, author of The Last King of Scotland.
Yeah.
I'll be totally honest with you. I have not taken that much interest in the football to try to remember what Foden's first name actually is. He's a Man City player, a young kid. Is he Ben Foden? No, wait.
He's a rugby player.
Ben Foden is a rugby player. Foden, he's not Giles Foden, because there aren't many footballers called Giles. There are actually two or three footballers called Giles. But Phil Foden. He's Phil Foden. There we go. I've done it in three. So that shows what a massive foot. And now I can go and hang my 40-foot Cross of St George outside. So, Phil Foden has had a haircut. And in the papers on Monday...
Wait, is it a mohawk?
No, fuck, where have you... That's like David Beckham 2002.
Yeah, I was thinking it's not time for that to be back yet. But Sam looked at me and said, shall I get a mohawk? And I went, yeah, babe, no worries.
Did you really?
Of course.
Over my...
No, obviously. No, that's what Sam said.
But what?
Sam said over my dead body.
Right.
He was just testing me, obviously. He went, hey, mum, shall I get a mohawk? And I went, yeah, babe, I'll do it. And he went, no way.
He won't even let you wash his hair, let alone shave two sides
of it.
Exactly. Children with... special haircuts make me ill. Mm-hmm. Children with the rat's tail thing, with the shave and the dingly mallet, you don't really get that so much anymore. Okay. The sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that.
So what kind of haircut is Phil Foden?
Well, Phil Foden has a, I'm going to try and describe it to you. So he's got, basically all the footballers, did we talk about it last week? No, we've just talked about it. The footballers in this tournament, which is the most boring football tournament there's ever been. This tournament where basically everyone goes through no matter what. The endless games have no jeopardy at all.
Oh.
Nor, they've tried to make it, because all that happens is that the way that football works is everyone has a few games and a few weeks go by and the thing, and then Germany win. They've tried to sort of prolong, I don't know, get more people into the knockout stages so it goes on for longer and has more matches by having this group system where there's no jeopardy. The game last night that we didn't bother to watch, England Czechoslovakia, there was, both of them were already through. It's an immaterial game. It's no more moment than me and Sam kicking the ball around in Regent's Park.
Yeah, but if you do that, then you might dislocate your finger, which
yes,
adds
true.
A bit
there
of element.
There wasn't
of
even that kind of injury. But so mostly this World Cup, European Championships has been about their haircuts, and the England footballers particularly have those. They have very haircutty haircuts. They're all shaven and then short and sculpted into You know, they look like sort of 1920s partings.
Peaky Blinder haircut.
Peaky Blinder.
Very fine grading up.
They look like, I mean, I'm not going to cast aspersions on how these men behave in their private time, but I don't think they're the kind of men who, if they came into a bar, would fill with gladness the hearts of the girls sitting around having a quiet drink in there. Mm-hmm. These men have, they remind me a bit of casuals in the 1980s, football casuals, who had very smart haircuts and sort of Pringle jumpers and low-cut leather shoes and stuff, and carry Stanley knives and slash each other's face up. They look kind of, to me, sort of, hang on, is that Kitty at camp?
No.
It is a text about Kitty at camp.
Is it?
We're going to talk about that later. No, it's me. I've been having a separate dialogue.
Oh, I see, okay.
Listen, I'll get a Foden. Shall I get a Foden? Images, Foden. They've all got these haircuts which are just very, very directional. And Foden, now they have... I'll do Phil Foden haircut so it gives us a proper thing. Oh, God, and they've just got pictures of Gazza, which is because it looks a bit like Gazza's haircut. That is a Foden.
Gazza had certain...
So that isn't even that Foden-y. This is...
Has he had it dyed blonde as well? He's had it bleached.
So what it is it's shaved at the side and then it's got a severe fringe. Mm. It looks a lot like Gazza in 1996.
Audrey Hepburn fringe.
I don't know whether it's meant with an Audrey Hepburn fringe.
It's a very, very, very short fringe.
But it's a sort of meaty fringe. I just think it looks proper scary. I mean, it really looks like he's going to... And Phil Foden wouldn't, but men with that kind of haircut, to me, that's like cross the other side of the... Little skinny white boys with really sharp, neat haircuts, little fringed, they just stab you.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. Anyway, shall I get one?
Is this a way into writing a piece about your various haircuts that you've had in your life?
I haven't really had haircuts. I'm not one of those people. I'm not one of those fashion people. Oh, God, that was my new romantic phase. Have I? I haven't had haircuts.
You had a sort of a Peaky Blinders haircut for a bit.
And did I? A parting. Mm-hmm. I had a Caesar crop in the 90s. That's not that different from a Foden.
No, it's not that different. No, Caesar crop.
That's like you brush it forward. It's like That's Julius right. Caesar.
Yeah.
I think that the I'm just wondering, there's just this whole thing with people. Men are going and getting these Foden crops in sort of sympathy with Phil Foden. I'm looking at some other members of the England football. I'm just thinking, is there a column in like, no, I'm not that into football. Who do I like and admire? Shall I get a Philip Roth haircut? Which is like bald with a little bit of fluff over the ears.
You could do that.
Or shall I
you
get...
You did have awfully good fun.
An Ian Botham haircut.
You did have good fun when you were filming Supersizers, crafting your facial hair into all different shapes.
And I did dye my facial hair blonde once, do you remember?
When you were very drunk and I was upset about that.
Yeah, and it was very, very painful.
Did it sting?
Oh, God. Do you know, it stung for about a week and then my hair was sort of carried on being blonde for about a year afterwards.
Well, I'm glad it stung. You didn't say it at the time.
No, I know.
Got pictures of you with a blonde beard. You know, completely stupid.
There aren't that many interesting other haircuts in the... Oh, who's that? Oh, and who's that? Who's that, Ben?
Declan Rice.
Declan Rice. Look at him. It's known as the Frankenstein. That's horrible. That's like the Phil Foden except with black hair. And who's that? Is that Leicester City bloke, Vardy?
No.
Who's that?
Jordan Pickford.
Is it?
Is it?
He looks a lot like Vardy.
But that's Pickford before the lockdown haircut.
If someone was trying to carve Vardy's face into a potato and got it slightly wrong and tossed it away and someone picked it up and went, "Here, no, that's Jordan Pickford."
But Jack Grealish has got good hair.
Jack Grealish hair.
And Calvin Phillips, they've got good haircuts.
Calvin Phillips.
But how about bring back Pat Sharp's hair? Or Pat Cash?
Well, that's what I was saying, both of them.
Or John McEnroe? Or Ian Botham?
What about this one? What about the Grealish hair?
With the hairband.
He's got a kitty haircut. He's got the haircut as the same cut as our 10-year-old daughter, but with a hairband.
It's one of those haircuts where you can't really... It's like some women have very, very long fingernails or very big sleeves or very dangly earrings to indicate that they don't actually do anything practical at all.
Yes.
That's one of those haircuts that you have to indicate that you don't really do anything practical or break into a run unless you're playing football.
Can I do haircuts? It would be more, you know, 20-year-old boys watching the football would have a Phil Foden, but those of us who are, you know, what should I get a Jeremy Paxman? Or
as you said, the Philip Roth, you'd have to get one of those. You'd have to get one of those kind of white flesh coloured sort of things to put over your head.
Krusty the Clown.
Yeah, exactly. But it would be worth it.
Or sort of admirable people in the news. Quick, who's in the news? Let's stop. You know, heck, open the newspaper. Who else? You see, this is where the comedy could be. What am I getting? Look, there's.
You get Prince Harry, Ginger Frightwig.
Exactly. All the men in the papers have just done terrible things. There we go, John Burke.
And that's just the footballers.
Hurrah! A Cameron, a David Cameron, a George Galloway. I want to talk about him.
Why? What's he done now?
He's standing in Bingley and Bongley. You know.
Bingley and Bongley.
The big by-election. You know, Batley and Bingley.
Yeah,
Bradford and Bongley.
I refuse.
Spen. Batley and Spen. Bongley and Spen. Anyway, so Galloway, who's standing, the party is called the...
He's an independent, is he?
No, he's not called the independent. They're called like the badass communist killers in the night or something. The Workers' Party of Britain. Oh. I mean, putting Britain in it makes them sound... It's very
the
close.
The Workers' Party of Britain. It just sounds exactly like... The We've Had Enough Party, or whatever Lawrence Fox's party is called, it's just slightly different.
Is that what they've got? Yeah, exactly. No, it is. It's the Workers' Party of Britain. So he wants to unify the left, and what it's going to do is split the vote, and then the Tories could win it again, and this would be the end of Starmer. But Galloway's party, yeah, so it's called the Workers' Party of Britain. He says he wants to stand up to defend the achievements, he says, of Russia, China and Cuba. He's unequivocally committed to class politics.
Yeah, that's going to go down well in Batley and Spen, isn't it?
Do you know where Batley and Spen is?
It's in the north somewhere.
Is it?
I don't know. Look it up on a map. It's what Google Maps is called.
Anyway, but look, that's not a thing for me to write about. But I thought the fact that he's unequivocally committed to class politics, so am I.
Okay.
And I could have my opposition to the Workers' Party of Britain could be the Remote Workers' Party of Britain.
Uh-huh.
Committed to...
Nice big tellies, coffee machines, slippers...
Sourdough starters,
and no ringing the doorbell between 1 and 2 p.m. because I'm having a nap. Thank you. Goodbye.
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. And to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not treat yourselves to a digital subscription to The Times? For 1 week only, you can get a 6-month subscription for half the price. This offer ends on June the 29th, so you'd better be fast. Just head to thetimes.co.uk/ Giles Corran has no idea. Happy reading.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to talk about
let's talk about
Kitty going on camp?
So I might write that. I really, really might write about that.
Okay, so just background. Our daughter, Kitty, who is 10, left for a residential...
She's gone to camp for 3 nights.
And she left on Tuesday and she's coming back on Friday. And Kitty has been having some troubles going to sleep recently. And she's been a bit anxious about camp, obviously. She's never successfully done a sleepover. I'm sure she won't mind me saying that. And she's had some problems getting to sleep and she's quite anxious about camp. And she went to camp on Tuesday. She was very brave. She wanted to do it, got all her kit together, sent her off. And then Yesterday I had my COVID vaccine and I was feeling terrible. I went to bed early. I turned my ringer to silent. And this morning I saw I had a missed call from one of the teachers.
And we told her that we'd be available if she wanted to.
No, we didn't.
No.
I did. At no point did I say...
Oh, I thought this was your sort of...
No. I talked to the teacher before Kitty went to camp and I said, like, she's going to have a problem with this. Can you cope with it? And he said, yes.
But the main thing, the thing is that there are always kids who don't... There's always a kid who doesn't go. And yeah, we didn't want that to be Kitty. She's quite anxious. She's never been on a sleepover. Whenever we take her on one, go and stay with your friend, she then there's a call, she can't do it, and she comes back. And obviously we want to facilitate all her emotions and leave her and be lovely and not force her to do anything. And modern parenting isn't just leave them on a cold hillside and if she dies, she dies. And if she doesn't, you've got a strong one. It's like you've got to be more supportive than that.
But
it comes round to camp,
yeah,
and we decided that, you know, she can't, that you have a friend whose kid doesn't go to camp, and once it's happened once, they never go to
they
camp.
They never go,
and
yeah,
then they're never going to go
and
away.
That's their narrative. Their narrative is, I don't go on camp. I respect totally parents and children who don't want to go on camp and they don't want to do it. But the fact is that I was that child when I was younger. I was the kid who didn't do the thing. I didn't go on the thing. I didn't go on the walk.
You didn't go to school.
I didn't go to school for a year. By the time I was Kitty's age, or maybe 11, I did then go on loads of camps and I went away with the school to different places and it was great. But the fact is that we've now come to a really critical point where it's like, if you don't do this, and if as a parent you say, okay, don't, like the moment where you know you're going home or you're going to be picked up or whatever, you feel amazing for like 30 seconds and then you feel like crap, but you feel like you can't change your mind. So it's quite, we're at quite a critical point with Kitty. Can you please read me what the text said?
You've had this text. So we had this text this morning that said, she's being amazing this morning and doesn't want to go. I've just showed her your text and she agrees that she doesn't want to go. I think she went to bed too late, so we'll make sure it's earlier tonight.
This sounds to me like a slam dunk.
What does that mean?
But it means that it sounds like it's great. It sounds like she hasn't found it a breeze, but she's overcome.
The point about writing a column about it would be, you come to this point, what do you do with your child when she doesn't want to do something? Eventually you have to make them do something.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of, it comes into the kind of snowflake debate about children now, the modelling calling of children. You have to not let them, you don't have to do that. You don't have to, don't worry, you don't have to get the answers right in your maths exam, because everything's right, everything's okay, everything's facilitated, everything must be wrapped in cotton wool and not told off, and do whatever you like. And the fact is, at some point you have to say, go and do it. I wasn't made to do things. I as a kid didn't go to high school in America because I was scared of leaving my home. They wanted me to, you know, take a year out from school because I was a bit of a twerp when I was 15 and the school was facilitating.
They said, I know, we'll send him to America.
Where everyone's a twerp. No, they wanted me to grow up and they offered to send me to high school in America for a whole year and I didn't dare to go and no one made me go. And my major regret in life is that I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So she has to be made to go. So it's like making your children do things.
I am 100%. They're called snowplow parents, where you just smooth the path in front of your child. And I am 100% that parent, 100%. And I just do everything because not terribly much was done for me. In that regard, my parents were great, but they're like, if I didn't pack my bag properly to go away to camp, then I didn't have the right stuff when I got there.
Well, I'm worried you sent her away with the wrong mattress.
Oh, cheers.
What do you mean? I'm just like slightly traumatised.
Why didn't you do it then?
Well, you were doing it.
Right.
It's just the other kids had these rolled up ones. It reminded me of when we went on a school day trip to Chester, and my mother and father, who just worked all the time and they didn't bring me up at all, and my mother wouldn't have known. It was amazing that you were able to send them on camping stuff because my parents wouldn't have known what that was. I would have had to have gone camping with just, I wouldn't have even had a spare pair of pants. I'd have had nothing. But she had all this kit. We went on a day trip to Chester and we had to have a packed lunch. And you were meant to take a thermos flask and a Tupperware with your sandwiches, because all these English people who went on sort of walking holidays, marvellous, and my parents didn't know what that meant. And my nanny packed it, and there was no container for my drink, and my drink was put in a used... This is one of the more traumatic things of my youth. I had my drink container, and we were all going to Greenwich. No, it was Greenwich, because we were on a boat going to Greenwich down the river. And I remember everyone took out their drinks to have a drink, and I took mine out, and then looked at it, and the bottle said Jay's Floor and Wall Cleaner. And it was a plastic bottle of Jay's fluid, you know, which is drain cleaner, which had been emptied out by my nanny or my mother, I don't know, and rinsed, and then filled up with, like, Kiora. And it just tasted of Dettol. And I remember the teacher looking at me and sort of looking at it and being so horrified they didn't even think they could say anything to my parents. That was how unprepared I was. And I remember so well not being really thirsty and not being able to drink. And I never had the right things. When I went on later when I was at boarding school, and we had to go on a walking holiday in the Lake District, and you had to get walking boots, and everyone else had them because they'd all been on their little English walking holidays with their little English. My parents didn't know what they were, and I remember my mother took me to Freeman Hardy Willis on Victoria Street, and for £4.99 we bought a pair of Spanish desert boots, they were called, which are basically felt, and then I had to go and walk for 20 miles a day through bogs in fucking felt shoes going squelch, squelch, squelch. And the teachers looked, they have sort of crepe soles, so they're not actually good for anything except walking through a Spanish desert. They're really handy in La Mancha. And I got my toes froze, and I got to the other end and I didn't have... And then I drank my orange juice out of the Dettol bottle and never had any snacks, because we didn't have snack food in our house. In our house, you either had smoked salmon or goulash or fucking stuffed pimentos or fags. And other people, we didn't have bread you could make into sandwiches and stuff. And it was all just a complete fuck. And then I just, when I see Kitty with her beautiful stuff, but with this, carrying this bed around,
yeah,
and I feel that everyone's cozy, going to laugh, nice, and go, you've got a yoke, that's not a...
Yeah, the two of us, who's been camping, me or you?
You went camping once, and it's your entire, that one fucking time in Africa, she's got all your African stuff, and you say, oh, it's for a grown woman, and you're saying, oh, I was only 8.5 stone, because all you can remember is how thin and little you were when you were 18. You said you had an idea for a column.
I've got another one about restaurants.
Based on last night?
Or based on a couple of things.
Go on then.
Restaurants and bars are in a bit of a critical phase of transition at the moment, because they haven't got enough waiting staff. So there's a story in the Times on Tuesday, page 8, about how restaurants and bars need staff. Today, David Moore of the Pied à Terre restaurant... And also Le Autre Pied, is that still open? We had a date there once. Mm. I ate some raw mackerel, it wasn't very nice. They have stopped serving their £99 10-course lunch menu due to staff shortages. They had 33 staff, which is now down to 14. Mr. Moore is blaming Brexit and COVID. We went to our favourite pizza pasta joint on Holloway Road, Zia Lucia, and the pasta place next to it, whose name I can't remember.
See, that's interesting. Look, but the question is it? I think restaurants, this is the column that I would write, I think restaurants have forgotten how to do it. Some have remembered, but a lot of them have forgotten, and they've also got to do it. And last night at the Viet Grill is a very good example. But yes, you're right. We went at the weekend to Zia Lucia on Holloway Road, a wonderful place. They only had one waitress on, and we got there early, and it was sort of okay, and gradually people started to arrive, and there weren't any others, and the wheels sort of fell off.
She was brilliant.
She was lovely. We had to get up and get our own stuff and then go and get our bill and then just leave. Mm. Yeah, we had a really strange experience last night of going to a restaurant on Kingston Road, one of the many wonderful Vietnamese restaurants there, this Viet Grill. And over lockdown, it has clearly transformed into a delivery hub, and they just don't care about customers. And it was really odd. I don't want to go and write a review about it because it's been there for a while. But we arrived, and you're trying to get in the door. There were four or five of those guys with the Deliveroo and Uber Eats sort of hats, you know, helmets on just above their head, walking around with their great packs, like Kitty's backpack on, sort of bumping into each other in the doorways with their bicycles. And you sort of step in, and there's three staff working there. Nobody said hello. Nobody said anything. We had a reservation. They sort of waved just to go and sit down over there. We sat down for 20 minutes or something. Like, major. This is a good restaurant. There's a restaurant with good reviews and good food, where I've eaten there before, and beautiful decor. It's a proper restaurant. It's not a dark kitchen. And they just ignored us. And they didn't come and bring us a drink. They didn't bring us a menu. I went over to the bar and said, can we order some drinks? Do you have margaritas? Yeah, we have a margarita. Can we have three margaritas? Can we have some beers? You know, and all the time they're going backwards and forwards with these huge bags of food. And you're thinking, are we going to get priority? And then you at one point said, maybe we should just go through their delivery page and order the delivery food to be delivered from their kitchen to the table in the restaurant.
It would come quicker.
And then he made us three margaritas, even though they didn't have any limes. Well, they made these three margaritas, which were really sweet and didn't taste of anything. Disgusting. And I went over and said, can we have some more lime juice? And he said, we haven't got any limes. And I said, well, how did you make the margaritas? And he sort of went, and shrugged. And so there was something he'd given us which didn't have lime. So I went and I said, can I have some lemons? And squeezed some lemon juice and poured that in, and it tasted all right. And then they didn't want to come and take our order. All of them, like all staff in all restaurants now, wearing their masks over their face but not over their nose.
Yeah.
So all they're doing is
and it wasn't just us, everyone else. There were only two other covers,
yeah,
and they were all being ignored as well. They bumped into that nice girl in the box.
Bumped into a girl in the loo. I mean, not in the loo, but in the anteroom of the unisex toilets. And she was a food blogger with 60,000 followers on Instagram. Said, yeah, it's really weird. They invited us to come down here and review them, but then they're completely ignoring us. And you couldn't really interact with them. They'd forgotten how to talk to people. So when I said, you know, what's really good? What have you got that's really excellent? We've been through the menu, we've ordered lots of things, but what's really great? What's a really typical? What's your best thing in the kitchen? And he just went, you want chicken or beef?
Yeah.
And he thought, really? Is that as far as I've got with explaining where we are in this thing? And yeah, and then the food was absolutely fantastic and delicious.
Yeah, it was really nice.
But maybe it's the end of the restaurant. Maybe restaurants are finished. Maybe.
Yes, maybe. Yes, you could do that. You could go in sort of hard like that. If you wanted to do that, the thing I would say was more boring and practical, which is like, I'm sort of not surprised, not kind of madly surprised. I mean, and also with the delivery pay, whatever structure, you have to bang out so many delivery meals to make it work for you. And also it was a Tuesday night, so it was never going to be that busy.
And it was during the England game,
but they really, 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 really did not give a F about our dinner or our evening or anything.
No. They left all the food. They brought us some starters, then they brought the mains and didn't take the starter plates away. Mess everywhere.
Mess everywhere. It would have.
And you all have to pay and be nice. And there's this whole narrative going on. Ooh, be nice to the catering industry. Be nice to the entertainment. They've had such a hard time. Tip really high. Order lots of things. We pay all that. There was no please and thank you. There was no hello. There was no. I almost maybe yearn for the people who come over and ask you how everything is every 5 minutes. There was none of that.
Having said that, everywhere else we've been to has been great. So they were not. Maybe they were having a bad night. But yes, if you wanted to, it's an interesting situation. You could definitely write about it if you don't want to review it. And I don't think there's no reason that you should review it because you've got too many. Okay, so other subject. The thing I thought you might do with that restaurant thing is your memories of being a waiter at the Dome.
Well, we didn't give a shit even then. There was no COVID and no nothing.
Maybe.
That's quite good.
David Moore. I'll be your waiter.
Yeah?
Hello, my name is Giles and I will be your waiter this evening.
In praise of the really bad restaurant. Because everyone thinks that there's been this slimming down and all that's going to survive is the good ones. But I love a bad restaurant where they treat you really badly and are horrid. And they come and nobody says hello and... Yeah.
There's a column, I believe it's in the Guardian magazine on a Saturday. Although, have they stopped printing that? Anyway, there was a column in there called What I'm Really Thinking, and you could do a version of that as your waiter. Hello, good evening, my name is Giles and I'll be your server this evening. Do you understand the concept of the restaurant? We leave you sitting in the corner while we bang out all our delivery meals and you see the racks of brown paper bags full of food.
Yes, that's
piling
right,
up,
that's right.
But don't worry.
I did do
yes,
a column.
I am wearing a mask, but only over my mouth, so I can just quickly yank up over or something. You could do it like that. Yeah. You want some food, really?
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran,
and me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And by searching thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea, you can access a special offer just for you. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.